Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
As tonight, a huge West Coast showdown in the NBA getting underway a few moments from now, the Lakers and the Clippers, following the Mavericks putting the finishing touches on this win over the Nets right now. It's 112-107 with about 6 seconds left to go. And Mike, I'll tell you what, I'd like to think the Lakers are going to keep rolling. And, you know, Anthony Davis says we're back and hey, we're back.
Sure.
And I'm thumping my chest. But, ooh, I got a feeling tonight's going to be an ugly night for the Lakers, man. Everybody is sleeping on the Clippers. I think I was a year too early on them. And we talk about the teams that can win. And we're caught up right now with all the here come the Nets in the East and the Sixers are holding on. And maybe we have to start treating the Suns like they're for real. And even though they're winning and winning and winning, and the same thing with the Jazz, and what about the Nuggets and Jokic? And the Clippers are to that team now, 22 games over 500. They're going, yeah, everything is all good. I think we might have been a year early on the Clippers, and that's the team we're not talking about enough as far as the championship goes, because I got a feeling tonight's going to be a big blowout win for L.A.
Question. I like that for L.A.
You
so
like
you
that,
could
huh?
be right either way. Nicely done.
Exactly.
No, it's a question we asked Dan Wojcicki yesterday. Right? I just laid it up going, why aren't we talking about this team? There's two teams that have kind of gone under the radar nobody's talking about. Clippers and the Bucks. Why? Because I think it's the show me. As Wojcicki alluded to yesterday, and as you and I have talked about on and off with this squad all year, it's the, all right, that's great. Like even going back to the Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, and Lob City day, it was, all right, it's exciting. It's fun to watch. Right, DeAndre Jordan terrorizing people in the low post, whatever else. It was all fun, but they didn't win when it mattered. So you just push them to the back, right? They go on the back shelf, and you work with the stuff that's exciting and you think truly has a chance and doesn't have to get past some organizational identity that seems to pop its head up every now and again. You know, like the Mets or the Jets.
Sure.
Or formerly Tyshirts Browns, all of those things. But when it comes to this, I mean, you're also looking now, the degree of difficulty for tonight is even bigger, right? LeBron, we know, is out. Schroeder, we know, is out. And now Talen Horton Tucker, who had a big play in the win that they pulled out, he's out tonight and tomorrow with a grade one calf strain. So it really is the Alex Caruso show to try to make things happen the next couple of nights.
And Alex Caruso, his 40th point of the night, still in the first quarter. Timeout Clippers, they want to talk it over.
But these are the games that you'll get to do, right? If you're when you go to the negotiating table for the next contract, whether it's with the Lakers or whatever else, look how I stepped up.
Yeah, look
but
what
if
I
didn't,
did here.
Then those tapes don't exist.
And these are also games when TNT and ESPN are ready to go back and go, yeah, you see this nationally televised game we had? Look who we didn't have playing. Look at all these people who missed out. Look at all this money that we're missing out on. So Lakers and Clippers, again, set to tip off a few minutes from now. And again, I think it's going to be a big, big blowout win for the Clippers. And we are not talking about them enough. I'll tell you that right now. Meanwhile, speaking of guys we don't talk about enough, let's how about a guy that we talked about hardly at all, who is going straight to the Hall of Fame, who maybe we talk about him more tonight than we ever have in his career until this point. The big bombshell story of the day. The Angels cut ties with Albert Pujols 2 months into the final season of his contract. They designate him for assignment. He will be a free agent for the second time in his 21-year career coming up in a couple of days when he clears waivers. So he wants to continue his career This came down to a deal about playing time. And before we get into Albert Pujols' legacy, which is a really weird one, you know, he wants to keep playing, and he was upset that he wasn't in the lineup last night when Ryan Yarbrough was pitching because he does well against him. He was like 6-for-9 throughout his career, and he was upset he wasn't in the lineup, and the Angels told him, look, this is kind of what it's going to be. You're hitting under 200, all right? Your on-base percentage is 250. It's not going well, and we're going to make room for other players. He wanted his release. They gave it to him. They said they were proud that he was an Angel for the last 10 years. But, wow, man, I mean, not facing Ryan Yarbrough. That pushes Albert Pujols out the door with the Angels. And here's the thing, Mike, with Albert Pujols. All right, just think about this for a second. This is 10 years with the Angels. First thing, and I say this all the time, the big contracts, like Albert Pujols, never work out. They never do. When you give a guy 10 years and $300 million, and look, the Mets are going to find it out with Francisco Lindor, as excited as I was, and he did have a couple of walks and a hit today. The Mets are going to find out at some point, oh, boy, what's going on with that deal? The big contracts never work out because the last half of them are terrible. And it is clear, and you can't even make this discussion, that Albert Pujols wasn't even close to the player he was with St. Louis. And when St. Louis had him for the best years of his career, and he won the World Series, he was a Cardinal for life, and they said, we're okay with you leaving, that should have been huge warning bells, all right? 11 years in St. Louis, he was an All-Star 10 times, all right? 10 years in with the Angels, he's an All-Star once. All right, think about that. 11 years, an All-Star 10 times with the Angels, a decade, so about the same time with both teams, he's an All-Star once, all right? Every single year, all 10 years he was with St. Louis, he knocked in over 100 runs, all right? In a decade with the Angels, he knocked in 100 runs 4 times, all right? His batting average with the Cardinals, he was never under 300. His worst batting average was 312. With his decade in Los Angeles with the Angels, he never hit over 300 once. I mean, you, no matter how you look at it, this is, boy, you looked at a 10-year contract and Pujols played 3 playoff games compared to like 500 with the Cardinals when he was there, and none of this works out. This should be the contract they put up when they go, this is why, well, this is Miguel Cabrera. Like, this is why you don't pay guys this kind of money, because it's not going to work out. What did the Angels get for this return? Nothing. They played 3 playoff games. 3 playoff games in 10 years. Because what you're buying is you're buying Albert Pujols to be a team that contends and is in the playoffs and you're making money and you're relevant and you're winning, and it just didn't happen. This is the contract you look at and they go, this is why you don't pay guys that kind of money.
I'm going to give you a big hug, and now I'm going to smack you upside the head because the on-field and saying you didn't win a title.
That's a tough house to grow up with you. That's a really difficult
house.
No.
Look, the girls get a little, the little pat on the head, when they say something truly dumb.
I meant you with your brothers. I meant you.
Oh, no.
Where this is coming from.
Man, okay. There's part of a book that, and my upbringing that, no, man, it ain't all sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows, as you like to say. But we make do with what we have. And look, when we wrestled and tried to do some of the moves of our heroes, we had an agreement. You go full bore. Anyway, when it comes to Albert Pujols and any of these contracts, you know me, as much as I love to talk about All-Star games and World Series trophies and everything else, remember, it is still a business, right? We've got a lot of stories tonight that cycle around. You've got that Georgia bill that people are up in arms about. Remember, it's all about trying to grow the biggest bag and take your biggest part of it as you can. The Angels signed a TV deal, as you recall, worth $3 billion after announcing Albert Pujols. And if Albert Pujols isn't there, is Mike Trout the player he is? Again, they haven't won with him either, so you can have that argument. As to how great he is, right?
Hot take. Mike Harmon says Albert says Mike Trout sucks. Hang on.
Well, I put it out there. Just saying, all right, you could give me war. You could give me all the data points you want. In the end, he ain't winning, right? It's so what does it mean, right? If we're going to play that game when it comes to the NBA, let's try, bring it here as well. But you had Pujols come in, and obviously an absolute monster with the Cardinals. He 1,000 or thereabout extra base hits when it's all said and done. The huge batting average, hitting .328 in St. Louis against .256 for the Angels, which is kind of funny because normally you would expect a lot more robust numbers based on lineups and not having to give up outs with weak hitting catchers, second basemen, and the pitchers that you have in the National League. So it's kind of funny that it worked out that way. So again, go back to, as Ben Maller would say, the cheating Cardinals, and let's ask some questions about everything that was going on there. I don't remember any trash cans or whatever, but always fun to watch. But when we analyze it, to me, it's there's different ways to look through this. It's a veritable kaleidoscope, right? If you just want to go to, hey, this failed because the numbers were down, he was older. All-stars are always tough. It's kind of like Pro Bowls, right? Pro Bowls, you can be the sixth alternate and you get to the Pro Bowl. In the American League, trying to get in at first base, there's always another hot, 40-home run first baseman. So you just become a jag in that regard. But when we get down to it, there's also the dollars and cents. Look, they've always drawn 3 million people. But that TV deal, that comes on the heel of, all right, we got this guy coming off his MVPs, coming off his World Series rings. Do you ascribe all of it to it? No, it's still the LA market, and you're going to have a big dollar sign to it. But I don't think we can diminish that. So when you have the tail of the tape, did you get the dollars and cents on the field? No, but I guarantee you those guys are all smiling going, that was a pretty savvy deal, even if it didn't get us the rest of the way. And then they just have to look at some of the other guys they signed along the way that failed miserably. The Hamilton debacle, Vernon Wells, a number of pitchers that they signed as a high price item that none of them worked out and pitched worth anything, right? Hey, we signed another number one. What's he pitching like? Well, the equivalent of the number five guy over there. So, that's the other thing. Is it's one thing how you spend your money on Albert Pujols. Just remember that the rest of that squad had its issues, and the investments were there in a total dollar amount, but spent poorly at those other positions.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Now, the thing is, all right, now I hear you on the TV thing, and it is the LA market, so it is money you can put in. I'll give you a little bit of that.
Straight cash, baby. Dollars and cents.
But let me tell you this. I'm going to ask you this about Albert Pujols.
Yeah.
Tell me one moment you remember from his 10-year Angels career.
Well, I remember all his milestones.
Do you remember? You remember all the milestones? What was his 3,000th hit? What did he get? Do you remember?
His 3,000th
hit. We talked about it. I don't remember. I don't remember what his 3,000th hit was. And I'm sure we talked about it. I can't remember one moment from his Angels career where I could say, boy, that was a big moment. That was a big thing.
No, because in the same game, Mike Trout probably did something better.
Yeah, Trout was 4-for-5 with 3 home runs.
Didn't he homer?
It overshadows.
Or did he just have a hit?
I don't know. I'm telling you. I don't know.
Let's see. It was a single in the fifth inning on May 5th. How ironic is that? May 5th, 2018.
I'm sure we talked about
it. Off Mike Leake. Oh, we would have had to.
I'm sure we did.
Yeah.
I don't remember it. I don't remember. His legacy is he has no legacy. He has no legacy.
Well, he's got a legacy in St. Louis.
But I mean, you're talking 10 years with a team that's just, you're a superstar. You're going to the Hall of Fame. The first 11 years of your career were absolutely unbelievable, and you have zero legacy. You have zero legacy for 10 years that you just spent in Major League Baseball.
Well, he was an all-star in 2015.
Yeah, once. He made the All-Star team once. With the
what? He was the 17th in MVP voting in 2014.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that, yes. Remember we did the MVP voting. We went 1 through 20, and that was a big thing. Well, I got Pujols like 17th.
That's really where it began.
Watch out. That's where it is. I mean, like, this is a guy that could wind up with – he's not going to get many more, but he'll wind up with close to 700 homers. Mm. He's already over 3,000 hits, and he's got no legacy. He's got no legacy for the last 10 years of his career. It's like he stopped playing in 2011 when he was playing with the Cardinals and said, you know what, I'm done. I won the World Series. I've won three MVPs. I'm good. I'm walking away from the game.
Oh, he was a Hall of Famer first ballot without any question. Because remember all those comparisons? It's kind of like what they did with Frank Thomas early in his career. It's like, look where he's at, Ruthie in and all these heroes. Yeah. I mean, Albert Pujols was crushing those numbers out of the water as well with all the MVP, you know, three times the Rookie of the Year award and, two or three second-place MVP voting? I mean, just a ridiculous run.
His legacy is he has no legacy. I mean, that's it. What's his legacy? Because this could be the end of his career. Now, he could wind up playing again. Tony La Russa might wind up signing him and maybe have him, you know, pinch run for the pitcher.
I hate you.
Yeah, it may happen.
No, because I tweeted that out earlier. And I was just like, look, I'll be able to call him White Sox Hall of Famer Albert Pujols. So at least I'll have that going for me. But it's when you have a guy like Andrew Vaughn and you've got some of these young guys that aren't getting regular bats as it is, that's where it gets frustrating. Like, you need to make sure the young guys are coming up, too. If it's just for Pujols 5. I don't even know if he could wear number 5. I don't think there is. I got to see if the roster, we could have a big fight over a number if he signs.
Didn't
there.
Ken Griffey wear number 5, right? Didn't he? And then when he was there for 17 games, didn't he wear number 5?
Well, he's a Hall of Famer.
His
he wore 17.
He has no legacy. He has no legacy for a decade. For a guy that's this good going to the Hall of Fame. What does that tell you about what he's been able to do and accomplish in baseball for the last 10 years with the Angels and everything else? He's got zero legacy. Zero.
Straight cash.
Zero. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The reasons to find your – go ahead.
Yeah, there's no number 5. Sorry, just
– Okay, so there you go. All right, I could tell you were very concerned about that.
Well, it is. Because we had that conversation with all of the NFL's new rules. So, you know, you don't want someone to get screwed.
Nah, there you go. No, and hey, if you get a Albert Pujols 5, you can probably sell an NFT thing. It might be worth a little bit. Maybe a tiny bit.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The Lakers and the Clippers. I didn't think we'd have this much drama tonight with the Lakers and the Clippers. And on the surface, no, there wasn't that much. The Clippers got out to a 20-point lead in the second quarter and then cruised to a 118-94 win over the Lakers. Now, the Clippers first before we get to the Lakers. The Clippers win all 5 starters in double figures. Paul George goes for 24. We are sleeping on the Clippers. I'm telling you, everybody is sleeping on the Clippers. Of all the teams we talk about for winning the championship, all the attention is spent on the Nets. Can they do it? We have to start taking the Jazz seriously when Donovan Mitchell comes back. We got to start taking the Suns seriously. They're healthy at the top of the West. The Nuggets and Nikola Jokic, they're winning without Jamal Murray. Look at this. The Lakers have all kinds of problems. The defending champions, are they going to be okay when AD and LeBron are healthy together? And we're not talking about the Clippers, which is a great thing for the Clippers because we were a year early on them. You know, they show up last year and they never got a chance to play together. They never gelled. They got rid of a lot of personalities out of that locker room. And while it wasn't something that showed it was a positive move as far as points, it was something as far as, hey, this is a better fit. This is a better constructed roster than it was. We let a lot of firepower go, but overall here, we're pretty happy. And here are the Clippers now, 23 games over 500. They know what works. They have a pecking order on their team. They're just getting everybody back, being healthy. Watch out for the Clippers. If I had to pick a team that's going to the finals right now from the Western Conference, I would take the Clippers. I'd take the Clippers to get out with the experience with Kawhi and Paul George in the playoffs. They'll wind up beating teams like the Jazz or the Suns, who eventually they're going to get to the point where, hey, man, we're in the conference finals. Yeah. This is pretty serious stuff, man. The Lakers have so many problems. If I could pick one team right now, it would be the Clippers.
You just put in playoff experience with Paul George as a plus.
I said Kawhi Leonard, and then I said –
Well, but you added Paul George
Kawhi,
to it.
And it's like Puppet Show. And Spinal Tap. I said Puppet Show and Spinal Tap.
Problem is you linked them together. You should add a little more separation there. But look, solid team. Obviously, the divisiveness of a year ago, we haven't heard any rumblings. And that's been the beauty of it. You know, you and I have talked about it a little bit back and forth, being as we're here in LA, but the national narrative has been quiet. Silence, right? Doc Rivers is off in Philly trying to avoid Well, what happened with Clippers? Early playoff exits when you've got players vying for big accolades and highlight reels and everything else to avoid any of those pitfalls and to see if you can't kill the rumors of what went on in the bubble, right? Because between Paul George and others, they didn't paint a very pretty picture of the coaching staff and their direction and how the players were or were not getting along throughout the process and into the bubble. Guys missing times and then seeming like a revolving door. Like, you're coming back? Okay, I'm going to take a couple of days off now. And it doesn't mean that the injuries weren't, you know, timed just horribly. But the reality is you didn't have that gel. We kept waiting for it. When's it going to come together? And so now with all of the drama related to the Lakers, the continuing inane chatter related to the MVP award and so many other factors, young stars coming into the league and making some noise, that the Clippers have been able to just kind of go to work, right? Likewise, in the Eastern Conference, that's what the Bucks have done. We haven't talked about them at all.
Yeah. Well, look, because the Bucks are boring. We've seen them get the number one seed in the conference
right.
The last 2 years and not make the NBA
finals. No, but that's the point, done. Right? So we have the history of the Clippers when we talk about Lob City and all those highlight reel moves and dunks and Blake Griffin jumping over a car, the front angled, whatever. Jumping the shark. Hey, you know
Kia.
What? It's a Kia. You know what? The check cashed just the same for the NBA. So don't try to discount. See, he still comes back to cash with all these discussions. But the point being that we had all those expectations that were never reached. With the Bucks, we're kind of in that mode. And likewise with this Clipper team after last year, it's like, all right, we saw that first act. Wake me when the second one kind of heats up. And now we've got some drama. Because as of now, it's just cruise control through the regular season. Let's see it play out when the lights are brightest.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. All right, now to the Lakers. Look, Clippers, they got no problems right now. The Lakers, that's a different story. Anthony Davis left tonight's game with what we all thought was an ankle injury, right? He takes a shot in the second quarter, and he tries to run back up court, and he steps on one of the tables on the sideline, goes down, and looks like he twisted his right ankle. He goes down, and look, and that's right near the Achilles where he had got hurt before. And okay, what's going on? What's going on? And then he leaves the game. And it was relayed that he wasn't coming back. And the reason he wasn't coming back was back spasms. Wait, what? He goes down. The video they kept showing all the time. He left the game after that. He goes down. He falls down. He gets back up. He reaches for his ankle. He takes his shoe off. And it was back spasms. That's the reason the Lakers put out that he wasn't coming back. Also, they were losing by 20. AD just spoke. And he said this in the locker room, quote, "The ankle is fine. The back locked up pretty bad. My plan is to go tomorrow to see how it is tomorrow. I should be good to go based on how it's feeling now." So tomorrow is the big one because the Lakers have a game against the Portland Trailblazers, who they're now tied for the sixth spot with. If the Lakers lose tomorrow, they're in seven, and then they're in the play-in territory right now. It's, hey, look where you are now with us. You're in the play-in territory, Bane. You're at the bottom of the pit with all of us trying to get into the playoffs. So, but I'm going to take this from a different angle with the Lakers, is that this is where they are at this point, and they've spent a lot of energy and time trying to come back to ensure they could get that sixth spot, right? And clearly when AD was coming back, and it looked like he was going to be healthy enough, and he was coming back with enough time in the regular season, and LeBron looked like he was coming back with enough time, holding on to the sixth spot seemed doable. And you don't know who you're going to play. You know, you don't want to play the Clippers in the first round because it's a bad matchup, but you could wind up playing the Nuggets in the first round, and maybe that's a better matchup because it's just Jokic. It's not Jamal Murray. And they're, you know, jockeying right now for third and fourth place. So you don't know who you're really going to play. If you're in the play-in round, you know you're playing the Jazz or the Suns. And is that bad a matchup for you? Not that you have to sit back and tank to get a matchup you think might work out better for you, but if you're the Lakers right now, is it really better for you to rush Anthony Davis back and have him keep playing and rush LeBron James back in two games to try to just hold on to the sixth seed? I don't think it is. I mean, look, I know you don't want to be in the play-in round, but sometimes just accepting that this is where it's likely going to be, you free yourself of a lot of pressures and you can focus on getting ready for the playoffs. Rather than focus on, hey, we got to win all these games and it's playoff-type games to get out of the play-in round, okay, we'll play in the play-in tournament. We got to lose twice. We're probably not going to lose twice if we have both LeBron and AD. So if they accept the fact that, hey, we're going to be in the play-in round, that clarifies things. All right, we're in the play-in round. We don't have to rush Anthony Davis back. We don't have to rush LeBron back. If we lose the games, we lose the games. We're gonna finish no worse than we'll probably be in seventh when we finish. So I'm not too worried about where we're at. No, it's not where we want to be, but still, this is the hand that we're dealt. And it's probably less... It does less for them to go crazy for the sixth seed than it would be to just sit back, play your guys, however the last few games play out, they play out, and let AD and LeBron get healthy and get ready for the playoffs and just go at it from there. Now you can spend time crafting your lineup and figure out, okay, what works great, what doesn't work, what do we need to do in the playoffs as we're looking ahead to you know, something that's, you know, 2.5 weeks from now. It might be something that you would find your mind being cleared and be more focused on, okay, this is the task in front of us now. It's the play-in round and then the playoffs. It's not this craziness that is going to take us away from getting ready mentally and physically for the playoff rounds.
Yeah, I don't think there's any need to rush these guys, right? LeBron, I quoted a little bit earlier tonight saying he expects to be back next week. If it's after May 16th, it's after May 16th. If it's after that final game, I think it's against the Knicks are the 11th. And then they have two more, I think, thereafter that and finish on that Sunday. If they both sit out, what's the difference at this point? If they're healthy and you get Schroeder back, right, because enough time should have elapsed from all the calculations that, in theory, he returns to the lineup. And again, you know, you're rolling the dice that it gels and they're able to just, you know, roll the ball out and get back to it. Because that was one of the reasons Anthony Davis came back, right? Try to get a few games under his belt to get ready for playoff basketball. Clearly, his body is not cooperating. They had the big moment the other night, the we're back, and all of that. And, well, now you see all the puns and one-liners related to that across social media, so I'll spare you them here. But for the Lakers, it's always been about the playoffs. So as long as you're secure and that you're in to the play-in round, as much as you may hate it and as much as people are going to continue to bash LeBron for the silly comments about it last week, as they should, right? You know, it's all fine until we're actually playing, and it's like, damn it, I thought we were going to avoid that. But you have to change the rules of engagement based on where you are at this point in the season. What's your best opportunity to push forward? Obviously, you would still love the seventh seed because then someone's got to beat you twice. But even then, it's still if you're going down, you're going down. Right, if your best opportunity is another week and a half of rest to get these guys back on the court, then I think that's where you go. So rare agreement with you, Smith, in terms of roster management.
Well, and let's be honest, you're going to finish seventh. Okay, you're going to finish seventh because even if they lose, they still have a 3-game lead on the Warriors with 4 games left. So, I mean, you'd have to lose every single game. The Warriors have to win every single one just for you to drop to eighth. So as long as you can win, you know, one game, you're going to wind up finishing seventh, which means you have a little bit of rope to play with when, okay, we have to lose twice. I can't see the Lakers finishing lower than that. I mean, because look, the Warriors, we know they're a 500 team. Are they going to run the table the rest of the way? Eh, probably not. You know, but let's just say they do. Are the Lakers going to lose every single game the rest of the way? It would take a lot for that to happen.
Just remember, there were a few games ago that was looking at the schedule. It's like, yeah, they might only win one or two. And then Anthony Davis came back. How about this? This just comes from executive producer Justin Frostberg. I want to get your opinion on this because this is going to be straight fire. Aaron Rodgers, unless something happens, he will not be talked about tomorrow because we're going to get a response to this. So Frank Vogel said LeBron won't join the Lakers in Portland. And then he was asked if there's a medical reason that he hasn't been with the team during the last 2 games. Vogel simply said no.
Wow.
Wow. How about that?
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Couldn't make it to Staples tonight?
Wow.
So, there, you know, maybe all the stories and everything that people said, yeah, typical Clippers, maybe not everything's all right in Lakerville. How about that?
Ooh, man, LeBron James. I mean, again, that is a phenomenal development here. Not joining the Lakers on their trip to Portland. No medical reason. I mean, now this could be
But this was at Staples.
Yeah.
Right? Even if he wasn't going to get on a plane and you could say, all right, there's no reason for him to travel with us, fine. Yeah. Why wasn't he on the bench here? Why wasn't he on the bench the other night?
Wow.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Today, there was another batch of new Aaron Rodgers stories. And clearly, look, I told you, we're going to get a new one every day until he's traded. But two today were really loads of crap. And the first one comes to us courtesy of his former teammate, John Kuhn, who went on a radio interview earlier today and said, hey, I talked to Aaron Rodgers recently, and he's kind of conflicted as about what he wants to do, if he wants to go back with the Packers or not. Here it is.
He's conflicted because this man loves to play the game of football. This man loves to be a Green Bay Packer. And this man truly sees careers. He's watched friends leave. He watched Brett Favre's career towards the end. He's watched all these things play out in front of his eyes. He's taken notes throughout his entire career. He's seen some situations that didn't feel were done or finished the way that they could or should have. And he's just trying to take his own destiny within his own hands. And to that effect, I actually admire him, because not many players in the NFL have that opportunity. I sure as heck didn't. I played until everybody told me you can't play anymore. And it's a humbling feeling. And Aaron Rodgers has an opportunity to try and, you know, take a little bit of that power back.
All right. That's a load of crap. All that is a load of crap. Why? Aaron Rodgers is the most calculating player in the National Football League. Everything he does has a purpose. All right? So just when you understand, he's not conflicted. He wants the message to get out there that, hey, I don't want to be painted as the bad guy in this, right? Because that's what's going to happen. I want out. Packers fans are going to hate him, and he's going to get all that hate. He doesn't want it. He wants it to seem like, hey, this is a difficult thing for me because the front office is what's keeping me from wanting to stay. But I'm conflicted because I love Green Bay, and I want to stay, and I love the fans, and I love my teammates. This is what you do, and this is very calculated, because he knew, having this conversation with John Kuhn, John Kuhn's going to go on the radio and do this interview. People are going to pick it up. And hey, John Kuhn gets a whole day's worth of relevancy in sports, and the message gets out and the story gets out. Hey, Aaron is very concerned and he's very conflicted because he doesn't really know what he wants. It's a load of crap. This is just to get it out there that Aaron Rodgers is a good guy and he's thinking about the team and the fans and everybody else, and that's what's going on. When he's made up his mind and he wants out, this is him trying to control that message. So I have a conversation with John Kuhn. John Kuhn goes out and says what he says, and this is why we have this story today. Aaron Rodgers is not conflicted. He wants the message out there that maybe he is, so he can still seem like a good guy and not seem like the bad guy.
Yeah, I mean, we know all the leaks, or at least the tea leaves as we read them, would say Aaron Rodgers has been talking to his buddies. They've been holding stories, and now one after another, they're finding their way to the light of day, including, you know, we talked about the Jerry Krause story the other day. Again, just for folks that have no idea of the dynamic, you don't have to get along to still win. So I think that's something in the Aaron Rodgers vein to recognize, even if he hates the GM and some of the moves. Like, go do your job. You guys have been close to winning the NFC on multiple occasions here. And yes, you can blame play calling. You can be as salty about it as you want, but you've been set up nicely. But this particular interview, it's like, well, he's either in or he's out. The cops got him or they don't. The retirement thing still hangs in the balance. But if you're coming off an MVP season, I don't see you walking away. I think the thirst is still going to be there, particularly because it's always going to be, all right, well, for all of the greatness, you only have X. And here's the list of guys that have matched your overall accomplishments in that space. And so as we flow through and every teammate chimes in with this, it's really just fun theater at this point. You might as well just have a full convention of guys. And you know what Aaron told me, or maybe he didn't, because James Jones did the same thing, you know, saying, oh, I don't think it's irreparable. And, you know, all of these, I talk to him all the time. So I'm questioning how much he's really talking to folks or if he's just wearing a jaunty hat and hanging out and watching the chaos.
So there it is. So there's one story. Load of crap. Load of crap. Now here's the next one, load of crap. And this comes with courtesy of Adam Schefter. It was Adam Schefter who on the first day of the NFL draft dropped the bombshell that Aaron Rodgers is not happy with Green Bay and doesn't think he can go back and play there. He went on the Dan Patrick Show earlier today and explained, well, this wasn't anything that was new information. I've kind of been gleaning this over the past few months. Take a listen.
This was an accumulation all during the offseason of just listening to people talk and observing. And if we go back to the NFC Championship game, and it sounds almost like he's saying goodbye to Green Bay. And so your antenna's up, and I'm just telling you throughout the course of the offseason, there was rarely a week that went by where I didn't hear something about Aaron Rodgers. And on draft day, there's a report that morning from Paul Allen out in Minneapolis that the 49ers made a draft offer, which they didn't make an offer. They never made an offer. And other people are saying that the 49ers called. And I said, how long till it gets out that Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay? Is it next week? Is it next when he doesn't show to the OTAs? Is it next month when he isn't? It's going to come out. What does it matter if it comes out now or next week or next month? And so.
So you chose to break the news on draft day.
That is absolutely accurate. Correct.
But it wasn't something that you got information about.
No. And it was nothing that morning that came in. And
okay.
All of a sudden said to me, yeah, he wants out. You should report this. Like, it was going on all off season. There was more and more talk. And now there's starting to be Aaron Rodgers talking. I said, you know what? This isn't going to wait much longer. Let's just go. And it just happened to be drafted.
Okay. Again, that's a load of crap.
Now, it just happened to be. Come on.
Yeah. Now, is part of it, hey, I want to save this for the draft, for the first day of the draft. Sure, I could see
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
You know, you'd get great ratings anyway, but still, you want to save for the draft. That's fine. But really, really, Adam Schefter just decided to say that for no reason other than this is just what I've been gleaning over the course of the offseason. Adam Schefter is not going to go on with a story like that unless Aaron Rodgers is on board with it. All right, because if he goes on and says that, and Aaron Rodgers go, wait a minute, because he said, it's just stuff I've been gleaning from the offseason. It's not been a quote from Aaron Rodgers, not been from anybody else. Aaron Rodgers could come out and say, hey, what the hell, man? You don't come back. You don't say, I never said that I wasn't coming back. I never talked to teammates about this. Whoa. You really think there's a reason why Adam Schefter came out with that on the day of the draft, the morning of the draft, to try to force the Packers into a panic trade over the course of the 7-8 hours before the draft to get him out of Green Bay because Aaron Rodgers wants out? Nothing happens unless Aaron Rodgers wants it to be out there. And a guy like Adam Schefter, he lives and deals with relationships. Yes, he wants to have a great relationship with the Packers, but he also wants to have a great relationship with Aaron Rodgers because Aaron Rodgers is a guy that's going to help him break a lot of news over the course of the next few years. So insiders have to kind of ride the lightning there when it's saying, okay, here's a player, here's a team, because the team's always going to be around longer than the player, but the player is Aaron Rodgers. He's not coming out and saying this on the first day of the draft if Aaron Rodgers isn't on board with it and not something that he knows he wants out there. Okay, so just understand that Aaron Rodgers is controlling his own message. And anytime you hear a story like this come out where, hey, I talked to Aaron or Aaron said this, it's because that's the message Aaron Rodgers wants out there. A day ago, it was Brett Favre saying, hey, I don't know that the guy's coming back. Today it was, hey, I'm conflicted because I still love the fans and I love my team. And now here's Adam Schefter saying, yeah, there was no reason. I just decided to say it on the first day of the draft. No. all a load of crap. Rodgers is controlling the message. He's the puppet master. Whatever he wants out, he gets that message out. None of this is happening without Aaron Rodgers' say-so. So all of these things about, hey, he's conflicted, it's a load of crap. Oh, I just came out with it on the first day of the draft. No, it's a load of crap. Aaron Rodgers knew he was going to say it. He was okay with it, because if he wasn't, he would have come out and said, I don't know where this story came from. I disagree with this. I'm working things out in Green Bay. Any of those things he would have said when Adam Schefter had his big scoop on the first day of the draft. But he didn't, which tells you Aaron Rodgers at the head, and he is putting all of this out when he wants to.
He's in on it, and when it comes to draft day, it's not a coincidence. Like, that might try to push that on us. Like, and I know every guy sells a line. They get sold a lot of lines as insiders. But no matter what you're trying to do here, this message from Schefter to Dan Patrick just failed miserably. And let's call it what it is. Other than the number three pick, where was the drama in the draft? Not a whole lot, right? Where would a couple of quarterbacks go? So you want to goose ratings. You want to get folks excited and talking about things all day of what teams could be, and potentially with that information, getting teams on the phone with one another, trying to come to some answer. And maybe it really spurred it. Maybe it was more in our minds of, I could just imagine the panic or the chaos of, all right, what do we got this year? What do we got next year? And then you have the Jennifer Garner character looking into all sorts of cap issues along the way, and but look, it carried the day, and it's been a whole week thereafter. But before the draft, and look, people saying it took away from the shine of the players. No, it didn't. That's just absolutely false. It made it a better television show. You still got the recognition when you got drafted. You still got the love from the new hometown, from the old college, and the coaches crowing about their guys that got into the league. So they can cancel that noise. What it did was it helped it to a 15 rating, and Adam Schefter got a lot of shine for the story. It's taking some heat today, deservedly so.